Well, good afternoon, everyone. It is an honor to be here with you today and answer your questions about the decisions that were made yesterday and early this morning regarding the early dismissal and the late opening of the federal government over the past 24 hours. There are two factors that go into this decision. The first and foremost is safety, the safety of our workforce and making sure that we can get them home safe to their families. Second, and equally important, is maintaining the continuity of our government operations to the greatest extent possible. That's what the taxpayers expect and they demand. I want to thank and commend the National Weather Service, especially Chris Strong in their Sterling, Virginia office. Yesterday morning at 10 o'clock on a Council of Governments call that was made with all of the state, local, and federal agencies involved, our transportation agencies, the Washington Metro System, et cetera, all of our school systems, all of the local governments, Chris briefed us and gave us an incredibly accurate forecast that allowed us to make a tough call. If you will recall, 10 o'clock yesterday morning, there was not a flake of snow in the air and not a flake on the ground. Chris predicted that this storm was going to come, that it was going to begin between 3 and 4 p.m., and that it would then come pretty quick and snow would be fast and furious. He nailed the time and he nailed the accuracy of the forecast. With that in mind, and the first two decisions that we discussed, we decided to go for an early dismissal of our federal employees, a two-hour dismissal. That allows us to spread employees out onto the roadways over many times because employees all don't come in at the same time. They start arriving as early as 4:30 a.m. and right through till 10 o'clock in the morning. And so what we asked them to do was leave 2 hours earlier than you normally would. That means that some employees could get going right at 11 o'clock, and our hope was is that the majority of our employees would be on the road and underway before 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon so that we would beat the rush hour and beat the storm. Reality is that human nature being what it is, many people did not choose to take advantage of that option. Human nature being what it is, looked out the window and saw no snow and said, well, I can wait till I see snow. This snow came so fast and furious when it did start that anybody who waited to leave by that point was caught in a historic nightmare. And so we apologize for that. Our hope is in the future that as we issue this guidance, folks will take it very seriously and act accordingly because it is based on the best information we can garner. Last but not least, I want to give a special shout out for all those who were teleworking. When we made the announcement at 11 o'clock yesterday morning, we also allowed anyone who was telework eligible to leave immediately. And so employees could get on the road right away. If there is a silver lining in this cloud, it is that those employees were home warm and safe in their house long before rush hour. And our hope is that for the future, all employees, their agency managers, and our unions can work together to make sure they get the training and the equipment that they need to telework. It is now the law of the land. The president supports it. And I believe if we can get this done by the next snowstorm, we will not face the same nightmarish traffic rush hour jam that we ran into last night. So with that, let me throw it open to questions.
Can I ask the first question? This is Hank Silverberg, WTOP.
Yes, sir.
We have heard from numerous federal employees who say one of the problems is you may have made a decision at 11 o'clock, but it didn't filter down to individual offices for a couple of hours. And in some cases where a decision had to be made by a manager to send them home, the managers hesitated. Therefore, they didn't get the word until later in the day and couldn't make the decision. Isn't there a system where once you put it out, that's it, it's the decision, everybody knows about it?
It is absolutely the case. When that decision is made for within the Washington, D.C. area, that is the decision. The only employees that are exempted from that decision are emergency personnel, employees that have previously been designated as emergency in status. Those employees must work regardless of the circumstances, and they know it.
But is there an email alert that goes out? How does the information flow from your decision maker down?
call the supervisors? How do you know?
Let me tell you how we do it, and obviously we will look and work with everyone to try to figure out how we can do this even better. How this is done is we make the decision. It goes quickly onto our webpage. We notify all of the chief human capital officers all across the government. We post it on all of the internet tools that we have available to us. And we alert all of our media through a very timely, quick alert message system that goes out to each and every one of you. So, based on experience, what I have found, at least in previous instances, from the time from when we make this to when federal employees know is usually within about 10 minutes. It goes that quickly. And so if in this case there was a breakdown, we will get to the bottom of it. I apologize for that. If that happened, we will follow up on that and verify that, in fact, we do that as best as we can because we want the word to get out. When the decision is made, it is carefully made. It involves over 120 people on a phone call with the Council of Governments. And all of the latest and most accurate information we can get from the National Weather Service and our weather reporters from around the region. And so we consider all of that in making this call. And so my promise to you is we'll just keep working to get that word out better. But I think what we're doing is, the past history, and this morning is a good example of that. We made the decision at 3:30 this morning. I think you all had it, and we're announcing it before 4.
Mr. Right, but when we called the spokesman to talk about it in the 6 o'clock hour, we got, well, I'm home sleeping now. I can't talk to you. I'll call you up at the office.
Well, I don't want to, look, I was accessible to you. I was on the air with you this morning. I try to be as accessible as I can to you. We will work. My promise and commitment to you is to be accessible and to answer your questions and make sure we help you get the word out.
Hey, Mr. Berry, Chris Dorba calling from Federal News Radio.
Okay, hold on the radio. Let's go to somebody in the room.
Mr. Berry, I'm sorry. It sounds almost like you're blaming the federal workers.
No, no, no.
Apocalypse or...
Not at all.
They looked out and said, there's no snow, I won't go.
Not at all. There are two things that I think came together here to make this, a perfect storm, if you will, or a worst event for traffic than it otherwise should have been. And I don't think she'll be too mad at me for using her as an example. My own assistant, when I left for Capitol Hill for a meeting on the Hill yesterday, I told her, go home now. Let's get out of here, get you home while the roads are dry and safe. She didn't. She stayed to work because she looked out the window and she didn't see snow. And she regretted that decision later. It's human nature. I'm not blaming anybody for that. We all tend to, if you've lived in this region, I've lived here for over 50 years. That was the fastest accumulating storm I've seen in my lifetime. Within an hour, things were impassable. I've never seen that before. Even last year's, huge disaster was spread out over a number of hours. And so this one, it was the speed, and it caught everybody off guard. Most of us know, if you've lived in this region like I have, when it starts to snow, you've got an hour or two before it really starts to stick and get home. And so you kind of wait till you see something. I think that was the phenomenon.
Did you personally go home early, or did you get stuck in the snow?
I was stuck in the snow. When we left Capitol Hill, it was interesting. When I was on the way to Capitol Hill, it was 3 o'clock. The roads were dry, and there was no traffic. So by my argument of 2 hours early, more people should have been. We should have encountered more traffic.
Mr. Berry, given that you had 120 experts gathered and the National Weather Service, you had a lot more information.
Can the person breathing on the phone please stop?
Wasn't going to slowly start with flurries. What obligations does the government have to, instead of making this guidance, to say mandatorily, we want you folks to go home. We've got information from the National Weather Service that says we are going to be stocked in by 4 o'clock. Why didn't that happen?
Well, we make clear, when we make the announcement and we give people, it is an option. I don't have the authority to mandate evacuation. So that authority rests with other Department of Homeland Security and is only used in the most dire of emergencies. So what I'm hoping will come out of this is people will take more seriously the counsel and advice. When we allow that opportunity for an early dismissal, people will take advantage of it and take advantage of it as best we can. I think in this case, even if I had given, you know, I could have, you know, in thinking back, we discussed it this morning with our staff, could we have let people go 3 hours or 4 hours earlier? Would that have made any difference? I think in reality, probably in how it played out, I don't think it would have made any difference. I think the 2 hours was sufficient time, knowing that the majority of people are coming in between the hours of 5 and 7. And so that should have put most of our workers on the road long before this storm was in any of a serious state or even had begun.
And Mr. Baird,
and that just didn't happen. So I'm hopeful that, you know, next time we can, you know, we'll underscore the importance of it. But, you know, again, we're operating on predictions here. If the National Weather Service, you know, if they had turned out to be wrong yesterday and there was no snow by 6 o'clock, you all would be here yelling at me for letting people go 2 hours early. So,
can you speak to today's 2 hour delay? Was that a wrong call? Because people, there were a lot of people who were on the road last night, 8 hours trying to get home, and then they were expected to show up at work, but just 2 hours late today.
Go back to the first safety and maintaining government operations to the greatest extent possible. After discussing with people on the COG call at 3 o'clock this morning, I was assured that our roads would be passable, our major arterials. Now, we know that there were going to be difficulty. That doesn't mean it was going to be an easy commute. The question was, would Metro be running? Would people be able to get into work in a safe manner? And the feeling was, with a two-hour delay, that would allow time for the sun to come up, temperatures to warm, ice patches to be minimized, and to give all of our agencies who are working so hard around the clock out there, and I want to give a strong hats off to them, towing abandoned cars or broken down cars, clearing our streets and our walkways. Those folks are working around the clock, and they're doing as best they can. So any hour we can give them helps them get that job done.
Mr. Perry, yeah. Is there a better way to do this? We've seen this around 9/11, other incidents where feds release, and then it's just gridlock throughout the region.
Hold on 1 second. We'll come back to your question. And allow for unscheduled leave and unscheduled telework. That allows someone, for example, who might be farther out, who is snowed in or their neighborhood was impassable, to take a day of annual leave and stay home. So in an unannounced fashion. So we tried to accommodate and give the tools to our employees to make the best choice for their situation.
You know, you have a really tough job. I don't envy you the job, but do you want to speak to some of the angry employees? Because we're hearing from them, and they're mad at you.
Well, first, I'd apologize for the traffic situation, you know, recognizing, you know, I don't control the weather, I don't control the roads, I control the work schedule. And the work schedule, we tried to accommodate to give people the tools and the flexibility so that they could get home safely. You know, we will continue to always try to learn from every instance of these things, do better next time.
Mr. Berry, hi, it's Lisa Ryan from The Post. Just, you talked about telework. Do you have a sense of how many people actually were able to telework or even are teleworking today, for example?
I don't right now, Lisa, but our folks are looking at that and working with GSA on that very question. So if we could get back to you in the future on that, we'll be happy to follow up with you on that.
Mr.
Berry,
it's not every part of the – it's not every employee, every non-essential employee in the government today cannot telework.
No, but Lisa, that would be my and the president's goal. We would be extraordinarily pleased and happy if every non-essential employee – was certified, trained, and equipped so that they could telework, because then we could maintain government operations regardless of the circumstance, whether it be weather or any other act of God or act of man.
And Mr. Barry, can I just put
telework is a powerful tool to do just that.
Mr. Barry, we've seen this before, 9/11, other incidents where the federal government lets out early and the entire region gets gripped by gridlock. Is there a better way to do this? Is there a way to let people out on maybe a tiered basis? Is that under consideration?
It's a great question. And in our early dismissal policy, the reason we do it like we do is to try to accomplish just that, to spread it out. We've worked this out with the experts over transportation. By allowing people to go 2 hours earlier than what they would normally go home, because people are coming in at all different times, that then spreads out your workers. So hypothetically, yesterday, workers should have been departing as early as 11, right through till 4 o'clock. And so, you know, that way we don't just dump everybody on the road at one time. That's the goal and that's the objective. I am open to suggestions for how we can do that better, so that if your listeners or if our federal employees have better suggestions for how we can handle that, we'd be very happy to consider them. We've looked at this with the experts, and this is the approach that they've counseled us, but it doesn't mean it's the best.
And Mr. Berry, two quick questions. One, you talk about the staggered starting times. Did I hear correctly you say literally a majority of the federal workers under this order start their day before 7 a.m., so they would be getting out, you know, well before 3 o'clock? And the second question I have, I just want to follow up. When you say that the order allows for early dismissal, just so I'm crystal clear, can a manager at transportation or, you know, setting aside emergency personnel, when you say allow for early dismissal, are managers required to adhere to that, or can a manager say, no, you're busy, it's not snowing, you got to stay?
As to the second part of your question is, once that decision is made, the only personnel who it can be overridden for is emergency personnel. And obviously they are pre-briefed to know that they need to remain regardless of the circumstances. As to the first question, I would say the majority of our workers, and we'll have to get this data for you, but I believe the majority of our workers arrive between the hours of 6 and 8 a.m. And so that was the expectation, that we could get the majority of them on the roads in that period of time.
Two more questions.
Just going back to your opening statement for a time, and I don't mean to go longer or anything, but you said that the continuity of government is equal to the safety of federal workers. Is that really the way that you think about it?
No, clearly the first emphasis is on safety. The second issue, which you have to, is always in the equation, but it is always second. You know, safety is the first equation and is the most important factor. So thank you for allowing me to correct that. The second is continuity of operation. And we, in other words, we can't ignore that, which is why I have to admit, you know, I was holding my breath after I made this decision at 11 o'clock in the morning, and a snowflake hadn't fallen before 3, was, you know, oh boy, you know, did I just let the entire government go early for no reason? Turns out I didn't need to worry. The Weather Service nailed it exactly right, and I don't want to say all is well, because it was obviously a traffic nightmare and a horrible situation for everybody who was trapped in it.
The after action report, is there something that you could do different?
I think in terms of this one, you know, given the facts we had in front of us at 10 o'clock yesterday morning, we'd make the same decision, that 2 hours early was the right call. What I hope would happen with hindsight now is all of our workers will take that 2 hours very seriously. I'm not blaming them, but I am recognizing it is a factor of human nature. And I'm as guilty as anyone that if I'm not seeing snow, I'll figure I can keep working. And I think that did play into this equation and why we had the traffic jam we had yesterday afternoon.
Final question. Thank you.
Thank you.
When you make a call, how many workers are affected?
It's approximately 300,000 in the greater Washington metropolitan region that are impacted by this.
Thank you.
Okay.